Well, welcome. We're very, very excited that all of you are here. We have some fun things, some very exciting things to show you, and quite the announcement that I hope all of you will be very happy to see. I know we're thrilled with this announcement. I wanted to welcome all of you here. It's great to see so many familiar faces. And our elected officials, Mayor Duncan, Congressman Turner, Colleen is here, thank you. We have Representative Senator Portman's representative. Sam, thank you for being here. Really appreciate everybody's help, the Wright family. It's been quite a trek and putting all of this together. The Aviation Center here at Carillon Park really stems from a partnership, and a partnership that started almost 110 years ago with our founder, Edward Deeds, Colonel Deeds, meeting for the first time the Wright brothers and being intrigued. And it was a lifelong friendship that became very important at the end of World War II, when Colonel Deeds had an idea to build a museum in Dayton, Ohio, Carillon Park. And so one of those eight original exhibit buildings, and we're actually sitting right in the middle of the original Carillon Park with Deeds Barn and the Corliss Engine Building and the Canal Lock, the Grist Mill, one of those original eight was Wright Hall. And as the story goes, Edward Deeds went to his friend Orville and said, you know, boy, it would be really great putting this museum together if we could bring the 1903 Kitty Hawk Flyer, or even do a replica of the Kitty Hawk Flyer and put it at an exhibit building here at Carillon Park. And I think he was a little surprised when Orville said, no, you really don't want to do that. He said, if you really want to teach the world how flight was invented, the plane that really taught the world to fly is the 1905 Wright Flyer III. And I know where to find all of the components. I will help you restore it. And I have some thoughts on what kind of building it should be in. And so the first real partnership at Carillon Park was that between Orville and the Colonel. And they built Wright Hall. And he led that, he found the pieces, he led the restoration. And yet, by the time it was ready to open, Orville had passed away. But Carillon Park opens in 1950, and through kind of a groundswell of enthusiasm in the 1960s. In 1972, the Wright Cycle Company was added to this complex. And boy, through the 90s, under the leadership of Mary Matthews, we became one of the private partners of the Dayton Aviation Heritage National Historical Park. The 05 Flyer was made a National Historic Landmark. It received one of the first Save America's Treasures grants. So, Mary, thank you for that work. And stemming from that, with a generous gift from numerous peoples, but a large gift from the Barry family, the additions connecting the Cycle Company to Wright Hall were made possible, and a wonderful exhibit was put together just in time for the centennial flight celebration, and so. 15 years later, because it answered so many questions that people had when they came through the exhibits. Now, over 15 years, with the creation of Dayton History, we have been able to bring together the collections not only at Carillon Park, but the Montgomery County Historical Society, the Kettering Marine Museum, the NCR Corporate Archive, the Mayfield Photo Collection, and wonderful gift from NCR to the Wright family, and for the Wright family to us, Orville's Success Mansion, Hawthorne Hill. With all of that happening, we were able to bring in a massive collection together, the largest collection of three-dimensional Wright objects on the planet here at Carillon Park. And so that was the first thing that happened. The second thing that happens as we're looking at this is that we have a great friend. And I can't think of anyone who is more passionate and dedicated to preserving and promoting our aviation heritage stories in this region than Congressman Turner. And we went to Congressman Turner. We said, hey, you know, we have an idea. We'd like to suggest it to you, and he was very gracious in spending a lot of time. He's going to talk more about that journey than I will, but very generous in sticking with it and making today's announcement possible. So once we had that, we knew that we wanted to put these new exhibits and these new artifacts together, and we found we were able to go back to the Berry family, and we were very pleased that they were receptive to make an additional gift. The Berry family feels a strong connection to the Wright brothers on a personal basis and certainly admires their sacrifices in pursuit of aviation. To have Dad's name associated with the Wright brothers and the Carillon Park Museum is an honor to the family. So we thank the Berry family very much for their additional commitment to what we're going to show you today. And but we needed a little more. We needed a little more money to do what we wanted to do, and or maybe a lot more money. We found that help with Kevin McDonald, Mike Parks, and the Dayton Foundation, through the Toulmin Fund at the Dayton Foundation. And the Toulmins, many of you might know, the Toulmin family stems back to being the Wright brothers' patent attorney. And now their descendants very graciously set up a wonderful foundation with the help of the leadership from Kevin and Mike to set that fund up at the Dayton Foundation. And when I proposed this to Kevin and Mike, they gave me a hard time, as they always do, but then came back a few weeks later and said, let's do it, let's make this happen. So so thank you to the Dayton Foundation, the Toulmin Fund, Kevin, Mike, thank you very much. So then the last thing that we learned in this last 15 years was by listening to our guests, to the folks that came through the center, to all of our guides and our interpreters that are in the building, that listen to what questions folks are asking. And so we knew going into this, boy, we really know how this center works, what works, what doesn't work, what just causes additional questions. And so what you'll see today is us trying to answer those additional questions. Things that are funny about, why did Dayton let Henry Ford do what he did? You know, and we want to answer that for people. We want people to know who Charlie Taylor is. You're going to get a chance to meet Catherine Wright inside, and what was her role? How did this happen in Dayton, Ohio? A wonderful display that really illustrates the different industries in town that help support and enable this work to happen in Dayton, Ohio. So we're very, very excited. And then finally, in the final room, you'll see some wonderful stories of Orville Wright and the rest of the Wright family. And with color and light and sound scores of additional artifacts, we're telling wonderful stories that you might not have never heard before. Inventions that Orville did from his lab and at his house, his retreat in Georgian Bay in Canada, and stories about that. So, and personal items, Catherine's wedding china, and Orville's tuxedo, and how they lived, and the rest of the family, how the family interacted with Orville. With that, we're going to cut straight to the unveiling, and then I'm going to invite Congressman Turner up. But for now, if I could have Congressman Turner and Mike Parks and Kevin McDonald and our vice chair of our board, Valerie, and Steve and Amanda Wright come up, and we will pull back the curtain. Welcome to the Wright Brothers National Museum. North Carolina has a little thing called the Wright Brothers National Monument. Thanks to Congressman Turner, both houses of Congress and the President, the Wright Brothers National Museum is now secured in Dayton, Ohio. So, Congressman Turner?
Thank you, Brady. Thank you for your leadership that continues to have this historical site be available for families to tell the story of the history in Dayton, but also of what can be accomplished. I'm very proud to be here for dedication of this as a national museum. It is fitting that this be a national museum with, as Brady was indicating, the building itself having partially been designed by Orville Wright himself and in displaying the accomplishment of the Wright brothers, the first plane that was able to sustain flight. This museum tells the story of what can be accomplished as people apply their talent and ingenuity and dream to be able to change the world and tackle the problems and the opportunities that man has in the future. Now, I'm going to get to tell the story a little bit about how this happened because Brady called me, and I think it may have been 5 years ago, and said, I have an idea. I would like to have a congressional designation of this museum as the National Wright Brothers Museum. I said, Brady, well, I hope you have some patience because that's going to take a while. So we started our first year, and we got it in the National Defense Authorization Act in the House version, and of course it failed in the Senate. And we got it in another bill, and it headed toward the Senate, came out of the Senate. The president vetoed it. We had to start again. And ultimately, I think it was three bites of the apple, we were able to get this passed as part of the National Defense Authorization Act in 2017. I'm very pleased that Brady has timed this announcement to the reopening of this facility so that people can see that there's the rest of the story being told here. Now we have the designation and the proper designation that this is the National Museum for the Wright Brothers. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Congressman. Incredible gift to the region. So thank you very much for your leadership. It's true. We've been keeping this a secret for a little while. While we were able to raise some money and get these new exhibits in and bring the artifacts in and retell some of these stories. But speaking of money, I would like to invite Mike Park up to the podium here.
Thanks, Brady. On behalf of the board and the staff of the Dayton Foundation, we're very pleased to be a small part of this today and to support the Berrys and their philanthropy to help make this happen. Folks come to the Dayton Foundation because they have a hope and a dream and a passion of something they'd like to help in the community. And thanks, as you heard, to Kevin McDonald and Jan Culver, both with Key Bank. Virginia Toulmin's one of those people. So the gift today comes from the Virginia Toulmin Fund at the Dayton Foundation. And as you heard, her father-in-law, was the patent attorney for the Wright brothers. And Steve and Amanda, I think it was 13 successful defenses, I think, of the patent for the flying machine. Virginia passed in 2010. In October of 2009, we were able to get Virginia to Hawthorne Hill with Amanda and Steve and have a dinner. And she was just thrilled to meet Amanda and Steve and to talk about the small role that her relatives played with the Wright brothers. Virginia passed in 2010, so today, with the help of Kevin and others, we steward that fund to make sure that her wishes are carried out in the community. And when Brady suggested this idea to help support the Berrys in a small way with the National Museum of the Wright brothers, we knew Virginia would have loved it. And kind of the litmus test is, if Virginia was standing here today, she'd have a big smile on her face and she'd say, I'm very happy to support this effort. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Mike. So I would like to invite, are you both coming up, Stephen and Amanda? Or is it Stephen? Okay, all right. as I mentioned, 110-year relationship with the Wright family, with the Colonel, and I think that every generation of the Wright family since then has had a really close relationship with every director that's been here and with the park. So, Stephen?
Thank you. Thanks, Brady. I'll see you all at the pool when this is over. We only have about another hour and a half to go, so hang tight. Well, good morning, and thank you for joining us to celebrate the rededication of this great exhibit. I know that you'll see a marked improvement to telling of this story if you have a little time to walk through after the ceremony. And I also know many of you have taken time from busy schedules to be here, so I'll make my comments brief. In the fall of 1905, my great-great-grandfather, Milton Wright, made one of his usual daily entries in his diary, as he did for 60 years. Thursday, October 5th. In forenoon, at home writing. In the afternoon, I saw Wilbur fly 24 miles in 38 minutes, 4 seconds. One flight. Just the day before, Milton had traveled to Sims Station by traction car with his youngest child, Catherine, to witness his youngest son, Orville, fly for 33 minutes and 20 seconds, covering 21 miles in the sky over Huffman Prairie. What my great-grandfather failed to note in his diary was that his two sons were now, as they had been for the past 2 years, the first and second place world record holders for time spent in the air as pilots of a powered, heavier-than-air flying machine. He also didn't mention that there was not, at that time, nor had there ever been, a third-place record holder. Stable and reasonably safe flights of long duration didn't appear to be within the grasp of the Wright siblings' third powered flying machine as the 1905 flying season started, but the persistence and courage of its builders willed out as the Flyer III's design evolved fairly radically over the course of the summer and some fairly close calls. By mid-September and early October, as their father sometimes watched, the Flyer III and the brothers themselves appeared to be fully fledged. The longer flights had given them the stick time they desperately needed to become proficient pilots. And proficient pilots have the ability to make longer flights. There's no question that Wilbur and Orville Wright had achieved synergy as a team long before 1905. But it wasn't until the 1905 Flyer III came along that the Wright brothers were able to achieve a synergy with their invention. Wilbur had once famously compared learning to control a flying machine with learning to ride a fractious horse. That horse, by the fall of 1905, had aged considerably, and coupled with the patience demonstrated by its trainers, had finally been civilized. Milton Wright had witnessed a milestone in the lives of his two youngest sons and, by the way, in all of human history, and had deemed it at least worthy of one terse sentence in his diary. It had taken Wilbur and Orville about 7 years of very determined, exhaustive, and often discouraging work to achieve those back-to-back long flights in 1905. The 1903 Wright Flyer I had proven powered flight possible on a distant stretch of sand where the wind could help. It truly was the embodiment of the dangerous, erratic horse of Wilbur's analogy. It took another 2 years and two more flying machines to finally establish that the horse could be tamed. And powered flight was practical, just a few miles from where we are right now. And we've continued stretching the boundaries that define practical flight to this day in that very place. It's only fitting that the once fractious horse was returned to Dayton, where it was born, to be gentled down a bit. And it's also appropriate that Mr. Deeds and my Uncle Orville saw this place as the place where it should be laid down to rest, and the horse's story and the story of the brothers who gentled it be told. I need to convey mine and Amanda's sincere thanks to a few people for making this retooling of an already fine venue possible. First, to Brady and the staff here at Dayton History for their focus and drive to make this organization the premier storyteller of Dayton's collective proud past. Brady and his staff of professionals and volunteers do so with the goal of inspiring future generations to accomplish great things. And they've burned a lot of midnight oil in the last week, I can tell you. To Mr. John Berry Sr. and all of the Berry family members who celebrate Mr. Berry's life through their philanthropy. Their original and continued support of this collection of buildings behind me serves to protect many of the greatest artifacts of early powered flight. As a result of their generosity, the Berry family anchors Dayton as the birthplace of aviation. And finally, our sincere thanks to Mrs. Virginia Toulmin, whose generosity to the city she called home for so many years lives on in a legacy of giving that is carefully and thoughtfully carried out by Kevin McDonald and Mike Parks. I know of at least one instance in Virginia Toulmin's life when her ability to judge character and integrity was spot on. I'm sure there were others. But that one instance I'm referring to was the day she chose Kevin and Mike to see to it that her memory should remain just as vibrant after her passing as Virginia herself was in life. And I'd also like to extend a thanks to Mike and everyone in Washington who made this happen. We count on you every day to stand up for us, and you've done that so well. Thanks, Mike. Thank you.
Thank you, Stephen. Well, the last thing my wife said to me before I left, and incidentally, I met my wife at the bottom of the steps in the Wright Cycle Company 28 years ago. She says it's going to be hot today. Don't speak too long. So I'm going to finish this up, and I wanted to thank everybody, and I certainly wanted to thank the staff here, our maintenance team, and Alex Heckman, our new vice president of museum operations. Gwen, our collections manager, has spent literally, has slept here the last two nights putting together the final details of this. So if you see Gwen, say hello and give her a thanks. And Steve Lucht, who is our chief historian, one of them, and he really has led this process, making sure that all the I's were dotted and the T's were crossed. And our friends at Life Formations and Siebenthalers and Exhibit Concepts for helping put this together. You'll notice that I have added a Wright Brother National Museum, John W. Berry Sr., Wright Brother National Museum pin to my lapel. We have some of those for everyone, so we want to make sure that you all get one of those before you leave. And we good? Yeah, okay, I want to make sure. All right, so thank you so much, all of you, for being here today. And please, grab some sand tarts and a drink and enjoy the museum. I've been told that the sand tarts have Kitty Hawk sand in them. Isn't that right, Pam? Maybe not. It's sugar. Okay, all right, so enjoy that. So, we have the bags. Okay, we have some... totes for our folks that have helped us with the unveiling. One of the exhibits up in the Aviation Center you'll see is Wilbur Wright's traveling bag, and it's great. He traveled all around the world with it, and the folks in France really enjoyed seeing that bag, and so when they started doing characters of him, he had his bag with him. And so you'll see that. So we have a few of these John W. Berry Sr. Wright Brother Aviation Center, National Museum, excuse me, Wright Brothers National Museum bags for a number of folks that helped us with the unveiling. So thank you very much for being here, and come back soon. Yeah. There we go.